Division of the Regional Water Board. This is informational, item 8, the regulatory program for waste discharges from cow dairies. This is the outline of our slide presentation. First, we'll be going over stakeholder outreach, the dairy regulations overview, the three permits, the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System, the general waste discharge requirements, or the waiver of waste discharge requirements, the CEQA review, and questions and comments at the end. We met last in January 27th, 2011. We went over extensive stakeholder outreach. We've done quite a bit in early 2010. Since then, in March, including also in February, March, and April, we've met with the Humboldt County, Sonoma County, Marin County stakeholders. Since then, we have updated our website and sent out electronic LIRIS to our email members to give them information on that January board meeting. The stakeholder outreach has given us feedback to help design the permits. Dairies in the North Coast are currently not regulated. Both state and federal regulations require us and give our agency the authority to regulate dairies. We expect all dairies to fit under one of the three draft permitting options: the federal National Pollution Discharge Elimination System, the state General Waste Discharge Requirements Order, or the state Conditional Waiver of Waste Discharge Requirements. There are five common elements to all of the three permits. There's the enrollment procedure, and we have a slide separate for each one of these, so we'll be going over these in detail. The waste management plan for the production area of the dairy, the nutrient management plan for the land application area, monitoring and reporting. The enrollment procedure is that the dairy self-certifies by filling out a notice of intent. This is a form that comes with each of the permits. There's a fee involved, and I wanted to say what the fee is. The fee and the notice of intent would be due 90 days after permit order adoption. If we hear this at the August 11th board meeting, this fee and notice of intent would be due November 11th, 2011. Let me just go over the fee, what it would be for the NPDS, or the general waste discharge requirement for 1,000 cows, is $1,680 per year. However, there's a 50% discount for dairies that have the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program certification. So that cuts that in half to $840 per year. 500 cow dairy, $840 per year. Cut in half is $420 per year. The smallest amount for the GWR, the NPDS permit annual fee, is less than 300 mature dairy cattle, $420 per year. Cut in half for the California Dairy Quality Assurance certification is $210 per year. For the waiver, there's currently no fee projected. The waste management plan covers the production area. This is the waste management plan area near where the cows are milked, including the milking barn, the pond, the waste storage area, silage, feed, that type of thing. Each of the three permits have a required management plan for the production area. Waste is to be contained or directed to holding ponds or special storage areas to prevent the discharge to surface waters and groundwaters. There's a schedule for design and implementation for each permit, and we'll go over that schedule. The next of the three permits, common elements, is the nutrient management plan. This is for the land application area of waste. There's a design. The goal of the nutrient management plan is to utilize nutrients on cropland in amounts to prevent nutrient runoff to surface waters or leaching past the root zone to the groundwater. The next common element of the three permits is monitoring. The permits have checklists requiring dairy operators to regularly check water quality protection practices. The water quality samples of surface and groundwater are required. The general waste discharge requirements and the waiver drafts contain individual water quality sampling. However, watershed group monitoring will be allowed when pre-approved by the executive officer. And the last common element of the three permits is reporting. There's an annual report form in each of the permit packages for the dairy operators to fill out regarding water quality requirements. The sampling results are to be attached once a year and mailed in to the Regional Water Board. Fall photos are required of the best management practices required to ensure that the operator has prepared for the winter rains. Next are the three permits. The first is the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System. This is the federal permit. This permits surface water discharges. There's an enrollment notice of intent form to fill out, and we've gone over the fees. The waste management plan and the nutrient management plan are one in this permit, and it's called the nutrient management plan, and that is due upon enrollment, so we do not expect NPDES permits to be issued right away in November because there is some background work to be done first. There's annual reporting of surface water, groundwater. There's annual reporting of soil measurements and nutrient management. The next permit type is the general waste discharge requirements. The timing for the general waste discharge requirements includes the notice of intent and the fee to be submitted within 90 days of board order adoption, a certification form that the waste management plan and the nutrient management plan has been designed 3 years from adoption of the order, and implemented 5 years after adoption of the order. The runoff from three storm events of 1 inches or more from the dairy property is required to be sampled for total suspended solids, ammonia, total phosphorus, total nitrogen, pH, and electrical conductivity. The groundwater is required to be sampled twice per year for nitrates, and these are from existing wells. The results are to be submitted to our office with the annual report. Next is the waiver of waste discharge requirements, where the notice of intent is due within 90 days of order adoption by the Regional Water Board. No fee has been established yet for the waiver of waste discharge requirements. It's usually zero or a minimal fee. The certification of a waste management plan and a nutrient management plan is due within 6 months of order adoption, and implementation within 15 months of order adoption. Sampling is similar to the general waste discharge requirements. We expect dairies that currently have nutrient management plans, such as through the NRCS or the RCD, Natural Resources Conservation Service, or the Resource Conservation Districts, will be able to fit this schedule. We understand this is approximately 25% of our North Coast dairies. Additionally, dairies may qualify for the waiver in the future as waste management plans and nutrient management plans are designed and implemented. The draft waiver proposes to reduce water quality sampling upon staff review of satisfactory results. As lead agency under the California Environmental Quality Act, our staff is drafting the initial study, the CEQA checklist, and a mitigated negative declaration. In mid-May, we expect to deliver the documents to the state clearinghouse. At that time, the draft permits will be posted to our website for a 45-day public review until approximately June 30th. After this review period, we will respond to comments, make necessary changes to the draft permits, and we expect to bring the resolution to the board for adoption at the August 11th, 2011 Regional Board meeting at our office in Santa Rosa. of the next steps. This summer, we will work on a program to assist dairies with permit compliance. We have a contract with Tetra Tech to assess the permit type needed for 35 dairies in our region. The first 10 assessments are scheduled for the week of June 20th, 2011. The Tetra Tech inspector has done many NPDES inspections throughout the country and will train our staff to recognize the need for NPDES permits. I wanted to point out one handout that's a table. It's too busy for the slide projector, but we just wanted to show you at least the waiver column. The goal is to have the common elements under the waiver and for dairies to get a nutrient management plan, a waste management plan, and favorable surface and groundwater sampling results so that all the dairies can eventually fit under the waiver in the future. That's the end of our presentation. We just have the listing of contact information, Mark Neely, myself, and Lisa Bernard. And we welcome any questions and public comments.
Any board member questions?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Norton.
Sherry and Lisa, thank you. A couple questions. Last we talked, or maybe one time before that, NRCS had been working about funding nutrient management plans. Is that something that's happening, can happen, can help out with that process? Is that, I believe that was out there before. Do you have any maybe information on that?
Yes, I know that when we go to the Animal Resource Committee meetings in the Humboldt-Marin area every month during the winter, the NRCS attends those meetings and has a handout that they give out to the dairies requesting people who would like to get a nutrient management plan. They have matching funds. It's about $7,000. They expect the dairy to pay about $7,000 also, and they work with them to get a nutrient management plan for the dairies.
How many are in place now? Do you know in your outreach, how many sites have a nutrient management plan that you know of?
How many are there total in our region?
Well, let me rephrase that. How many total dairies are out there in our region that you've now outreached to, and then how many have nutrient management plans now?
We've outreached to 14. We understand that 25%, according to the NRCS, have nutrient management plans or, okay. Or are working on them right now.
Okay.
So we've given them a time schedule of 15 months from order adoption to finish that. Some dairies could go under the GWDR for a year or so and then switch into the waiver.
And that breakpoint is where? I mean, how do they do that? And are we the last meeting that we had in January, you know, I would like to still see, you know, that's where we want them to go, right? Because that's the lightest touch that's giving them command and control of what they're doing, which is the right thing to do. And how is it, and maybe I'm getting ahead of this process, but within that, how do we incentivize these guys and these operators to get there? Because what I hear from you, Sherry, is that, okay, you can rest here for a minute, but we really want you to get to here, right? If they GWDRs and then go to a waiver process. And I think they would want to be there.
I think that they want the waiver, yes. Well, one incentive is they wouldn't have to take all these water quality sampling results anymore.
Correct.
This is twice a year for the groundwater, three times a year for the surface water monitoring. They have to have a nutrient management plan and a waste management plan anyway in a few years under the GWDR. It seems like in a few years they will all be able to go into the waiver eventually. There is some price in the cost of the infrastructure. I mean, that will be more expensive for some dairies than others. I imagine that might be the limiting factor in going from the GWDR to the waiver.
And again, you foresee, just so that I'm clear here, that you foresee that the process gets them to the waiver. It sounds like, you know, they go through that process, right?
Yes.
Which is good. Thank you very much. Can I also ask you about the monitoring? Because groundwater monitoring is here, but I note that on your handout, the busy table, maybe, it's indicated as being an ag or domestic well. So this is not a monitoring well per se. This is an on-site domestic well. Is that correct?
This would be existing wells that they have, so probably the house and the barn.
Okay, because I would imagine these being rural properties for the most part in nature that probably all, if not all of them, are likely served by domestic well. So again, just to be clear that this is not an installed monitoring well. This is using an existing well to grab a sample under some protocol to test it for these constituents, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. that's all I got. I think you're right on track, it sounds like, and I really like that. I think that you've done both a very good job, and staff that's with you, and I commend you. So sounds like you're turning the corner and heading for home.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that with what Vice Chair Noren said. We appreciated the stepwise process that you've kept us updated over the last few meetings, and this one's moving ahead at full speed, but it also seems like it's, you know, everything's falling right into place so far. So we appreciate that. Thanks.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Noren.
I see Paul Martin. I don't know, Paul, if you had a speaker card up here in Hovita. When we were in Santa Rosa in January, we had a robust discussion. And I do want to recognize the dairy industry with Paul, with everything they've done. There's other similar groups out there. I want to recognize EPA with Hovita and her work and efforts as well. This is, I just want to go all around and recognize people for their efforts and this community as well. I think the ag community is wonderful, and I think that they, you know, we want to get them to the waiver, absolutely, and I think they want to be there. So I think you're right there.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
Let me pile on.
Please.
I think what this is absolutely exciting to watch this process happening, and you guys are doing a great job. I think the other thing that is rather nice about this is that Mr. Noren came on this board, sat with us for about a year, and then realized we did not have anything in the dairy area. And it is a credit to him and the ability of this board to adapt and adopt. And so I want to thank Mr. Noren, because I didn't know we had cows. I thought milk came from a carton. What did I know? But it is absolutely delightful to see the younger guys on this board come and take a real solid position, and for that I applaud you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I have a healthy stack of speaker cards here. I'm hoping they're all in the same spirit. We'll find out. I'd like to welcome Mr. Dennis Leonardi, followed by Jim Renner. Okay.
I did write a couple months. Don't get too rambling here.
Dennis Leonardi, former board member. Anyway, thank you so much for, you know, scheduling meetings up here, too. It's really nice to be able to have the opportunity to not travel to Santa Rosa. And it's nice to see so many familiar faces, and I appreciate that. Just a couple of comments. We did appreciate staffs in their stakeholder reach out meeting. The last one, or the one that I attended, was the one as recently as March. And I think we had Kat and Sherry and Lisa up there. We had an opportunity to provide some information, I think, that was hopefully kind of new and supportive of, you guys may not have realized we have cows up here, but we've been doing a whole lot of voluntary stuff, and have been driven with a real cooperative approach through NRCS and RCD and just the pride we have in ownership up here. And we were able to share some of those situations that we have been doing a whole lot of real constructive things outside of being regulated to do so. And that, I think, was those success stories and that collaborative working relationship between the agencies and the producers, and the education that's gone on over the course of time, I think was the real gold nugget out of that mid-March meeting. And we had, as producers, there were several of us at that meeting, had a chance maybe to very clearly and more poignantly articulate the plight of the North Coast dairy industry. And you've probably read some in the papers, but the first-hand account of what we've gone through in the last couple, 3 years has been pretty excruciating in my 40 years of production experience, like none other, if you can kind of go there. In reflecting on that, the limited of resources we do have available and to do projects, and we shared with staff and amongst ourselves, kinds of high impact projects make a real difference that pretty much everybody can do on a pretty immediate basis to protect water quality, because obviously your job is to protect the water of the state of California. The process of monitoring and developing extensive nutrient management plans was also addressed. and probably deserves some further discussion. I believe in this area, the Humboldt area, we've got, I think, maybe five plans that are actually done out of the 50 dairies or so that we have here. So there's a long way to go, and the scope of the dairies and size is pretty dramatic, from 50 cows to 500. So the economic impact of that $7,000 is pretty significant, when I would be willing to bet most of the farmers in this community have a stack of hay bills at $7,000 a pop to still pay for. So I think what we want to try to focus on is how do we develop that process so we can all get it done, and in the meantime still implement voluntary management that gets us close to that that goal, so we kind of get the best of both worlds going forward. There was cost of that, concerns of the cost, and there's also some concerns of the number of people who technically could put together a nutrient management plan with NRCS or a professional consultant or whoever. There is limited staff, as there's limited staff on the water board to help in that participation of developing any kind of plan. And I mean, it was nice to have the March 16th meeting up here, but how many times can staff dedicate time to come up and keep working on it? So we had that round table discussion of the effort it takes. I think summarizing everything, our commitment, or my commitment, has always been we want to continue to work with the board on water quality issues. I've been doing it. A lot of us have been doing it for years. We expect to continue to do that in a cooperative, constructive fashion. And we want to encourage, and I like to, this voluntary participation at a very high level, and to continue to develop that process. I think we need to really focus on embracing producers and not alienating them, and really working to kind of capture that volunteerism, that effort that we have. There is a juggernaut of progress if you've been around. I mean, Bill and John have been around for a while, and Heidi's been around. They've driven through the bottoms and stuff, and things have really changed. You look at roofs, they've got gutters. You look at water diversion projects, and you look at distribution systems and dry manure management. A lot of folks have been through the Dairy Quality Assurance Program, so there's been a ton of stuff done. So I want to make sure it goes said that this area has been very proactive on a volunteer basis, probably like none other than the state of California. And we have a really unique situation with probably 80% organic dairies that really are concerned about nutrient management, nutrient application, intensive pasture management, using the resources we have at a very high level. So anyway, those are my comments, and I'm really looking forward to continue to working with staff to develop some of the criteria. I think Sherry did a nice job putting a broad brush on it, but we have to fine-tune some of those details, and I'm unfamiliar with kind of the time frame, but the time frame I saw there might be a tiny bit scary to try to get it done constructively without people just throwing up their hands, and I'm sure nobody wants that. So anyway, thanks for your time, and really I do appreciate all of your efforts, because I know sitting behind there it's not very easy, but you really do a great job, and especially when you're able to harness the energy of producer and business community, get some great stuff done. Any questions? Or if not, I'll...
Can I respond? I agree with much of, what you said, Dennis. And I know going through this process, you know, we have recognized the efforts of the Dairy Quality Assurance Program, the organic standards, and many others. And it's been my experience. I grew up with 50 cows. They weren't dairy cows. I'm actually a beef guy. But nonetheless, 50 cows is 50 cows. And I know that just a little bit about you. It sounds like you've been on both sides of the pasture fence, looking in and looking out. And I think you guys should be commended for your efforts, and you should be recognized for the efforts that are there in place, because my experience with this community is that they're very much a can-do community, and there is very much an effort out there that has been ongoing. This isn't something that's brand new popping out of the weeds. There's been a lot done out there, and we need to recognize that. I think as far as timelines go, and as this thing comes around the corner to home, because it's close, if we need to talk about timelines, this thing is coming for adoption soon. I hear you. So from that standpoint, that should be something we should consider within that. And we'll go forward. But I do appreciate your work as a producer, the work of the industry that's here, and recognizing the value of what you've done. So thank you.
thank you guys for listening, and we'll
appreciate
see you
it.
Soon.
Thanks. David Renner? Followed by Domingo Santos.
See these out of the cheaters. David Renner. I'm a third-generation dairy farmer. My grandfather started out with a dairy where everything was done by hand. My father grew up. We actually have two dairies. One's organic, one's conventional, but our ground is certified. The conventional dairy is certified as organic. So like Dennis said, we are very aware. We do utilize all of our waste. And it's funny because we don't look at it as waste, and as a discharge. We apply a nutrient that we use. It's been something that's been done on dairy farms since the first dairy farm was ever. Actually, God used to do it and still does it with the critters all over the planet. We've been doing this for a long time here, and we're doing it better and better than we ever have as far as applying our waste and making sure it isn't discharged into streams. And I take a little bit of exception to about not being regulated, because we are regulated. It's illegal. Maybe we don't have a permitting process for dairies, but I don't want to say no dairies aren't regulated, because we can't discharge in the ground or any kind of surface waters now. We've put a big investment in our infrastructure, tanks, storage tanks, application equipment. We've had some great help from our NRCS and people here in the area. They've been very, very good with us, and they've had a lot of help, and we've got a lot of projects done. It was a few years back now, but Tom Dunbar, I believe he was staff, he paid a visit, and I'm kind of referring to my particular operation now. And everything, he said, you look like you're doing fine. We don't have a stream. And so I get kind of concerned. I worry about, man, I hope that when we do a permitting that we can really work towards a waiver or look at operations on an individual basis, because if you try to apply a blanket regulation, say, as they do in the Central Valley, that just won't work here for us. I mean, we aren't large enough to absorb those kind of costs and permitting and annual fees, because some of the larger dairy, like Dennis said, are about 500 cows or smaller. Our margins are getting smaller and smaller every year. 30 years ago, when we started the dairy that I'm on, there was like 178 dairies in actually the Lolita, Arcata Bottom, and Ferndale Bottoms. Now I believe there's probably barely 60 in between Del Norte and Humboldt County. So this is the shrinking, and part of that has to do with the increased cost and regulation on it. Just one other thing, too, is that I hope, you know, Foster Farms is, and because of the collapse of Humboldt Cream, we just invested almost $20 million into their creamery here, and I would think that they would have some real concerns too, worrying about, boy, we don't want to get too much regulation which would force, because they need a milk supply for that, and that's very, very important, that creamery operation and the overall community. And just one more thing is, you know, I keep going back, this kind of a personal thing, is that more and more of our children, between Dennis is my brother-in-law, between our two families, we have five children. And it's interesting to note that four of our children have decided to seek employment in the government sector, whether it be teachers, law enforcement, or whatever. They don't want to, they've seen what we've done, we see what we put up with, they see what's coming down the road, and they aren't interested in the farm. And Dennis's daughter, Margaret, actually works in a winery. Sometimes I feel sorry for Margaret, because she's going to have to pretty much supply the salaries for everybody else. But anyway, I would hope that you really consider when we look at this to look at the operation up here and really consider if we can hopefully we can get under the waiver and not have to go with the higher permitting. Thanks.
Thank you. Domingo Santos, followed by Paul Martin.
Good morning. My name is Domingo Santos. I'm a dairyman here in Arcata for all my life, raised there also. Anyway, I'll be very brief and blunt. Over the years, I don't have the statistics, but the cow numbers in the 50s and today are probably about the same numbers. And I just don't understand why they're ruling all these rules and regulations now where the cow's been in the area for over 100 years. Another issue is if all these issues are placed and effective, this could be a great hardship into the dairy industry here in Humboldt County. And I don't believe all the dairymen will be able to qualify or even take in consideration the cost or investment of surviving. And I think the dairy industry is a very viable industry here in the county. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. Any questions?
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Paul Martin, followed by Mario Avelar. I can read that correctly.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Paul Martin, Western United Dairyman, Director of Environmental Service. Our office is 1315 K Street in Modesto, California. And of course, I work all over the state. So I just would like to make some general comments. We certainly appreciate the opportunity to work with your staff. And we have turned for home and are coming down the home stretch. But of course, when you get to that point in the process, that's where the devil is in the details. And there's obviously some details that we're going to have to work out on this. I do want to mention a couple of facts here. We did a study through the California Department of Food and Agriculture on the cost of the Region 5 program, and that study has been provided to your staff, but the annual ongoing cost of the program that Region 5 has for the average dairy in the valley, which is about 1,000 cows, is running at $15,000. Now, that cost is not geometrically aligned with the size of the herd. It's pretty much the same for a smaller herd as it is for an average size herd. It increases to some of the really large herds because they have such a large land base that goes with it. But so that's a substantial hit. Since the Valley program was put in place, they've lost 225 dairies in the San Joaquin Valley. Compare that to the four or five that we've lost in the North Coast area. And you can't attribute that loss all to the regulatory program, but it certainly has not helped it. The nutrient management plans, the mention that Dennis made of capacity is really one that we are struggling with. We were successful in getting additional funding brought into the state of California. We have 20 plans that are funded, but we've only been able to do four of them so far. And we're having difficulty with the technical people that we need to get those done. So it's going to take a significant period of time. We were the only group awarded agriculture water enhancement program funding this year. It was $1 million project. We were successful in getting it, but it was reduced to $500,000. And we're trying to get that out to as many dairies as we can, but what we're seeing is that the applications that we're getting, we're only going to be able to do four or five dairies, and that is for the valley. It's not for this area over here. The one thing I would like to mention is that we have, within the dairy industry and the dairy organizations, a collaborative program that is in place as we stand today. That program does self-monitoring. It does information dissemination. It has monthly meetings. And this has been in place since the passage of the Port of Cologne Act. And our producers have continued to invest. They've continued to improve their equipment. They've continued to tune up their management. And they have done this without a real active program from the regional board. And I think that's one of the things I want to be sure that we are very careful to protect, because the best possible thing that can happen for water quality is for the regulated community to take ownership of their regulatory program and run with it. And that's what these guys have done. And so I want to be really sure that we don't diminish that collaborative willingness of producers to participate by getting overly technical in the paperwork we're going to require of them. Most folks have a nutrient management plan. It's not written down, but they know what they're doing. They know their land. They know how they want to distribute the manure because it's a resource to them. So I hope we can recognize that. So in closing, I think there's going to need to be a considerable amount of interaction between us and your staff, with the goal that I have in my mind is to sit here at the time when you're going to adopt it. If August is the target date, I want to be able to sit here and say I support the staff recommendation. That's where I want to go. So hopefully we can get the job done. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thanks, Paul. I do have a question. That cost analysis for Region 5 with an averaging of $15,000 a year, that's a pretty steep bill. Do you see more similarities or more differences with the framework that's being laid out for this region and options for dairymen to fall under different categories?
I don't think that your NPDES permit is going to be any different because that's a federal requirement. However, I don't think that permit is going to be very popular either, so I don't expect very many producers to utilize it. The WDR is going to have the same elements. Where we can reduce the cost is through the waiver process. And I have some ideas that I'd like to have your staff take a look at as to how to streamline that waiver process. In my opinion, from the dairies that I've been on, and you know, I know them pretty well, I would expect most people could qualify for the waiver, but they would be lacking the written nutrient management plan. So that's one of the things I want to talk about with your staff.
Okay. Mr. Norman.
I understand, Paul, that this is out for public comment very, very soon, so it comes out, and I look forward to your comments and input. Yeah. That's something I think we need. I think you've been there all the way along, so it's not something new. Again, you stood on both sides of that fence, too, and I look forward to your input.
Thank you, David. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Great. Thanks. Mario Raylor. Sorry if I messed your name up.
I've been called worse. Hello. I'm Mario Avalar. Originally from Arcata Bottoms, grew up there and migrated to Ferndale. I've had a first-generation dairy I've started in Ferndale, me and my brother. And with all the rules and regulations coming down the pipe, we're going to be left with two choices before long. It's either going to be, one, go out of business, or two, move out of state to a state that's more friendly to agriculture. I mean, as an organic farmer, we love our jobs, but we love our land, and we don't try to, you know, what the mistake, if we make a mistake dispersing the manure on the fields, we pay for that severely. So we try to do the best we can to make sure our bottom line stays so we can stay in business and feed our families. So, I mean, all I ask is a little common sense on this and a little help from you guys. So that's all I have. Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you. Danny Merkley.
Good morning, Chair, members of the board. My name is Danny Merkley. I'm the Director of Water Resources for the California Farm Bureau. A couple of words I keep hearing over and over that just make me cringe a little bit, and it's my own little pet peeve. One is when we continue to talk about a waiver. Waivers are virtually strictly as a waiver are non-existent since the passage of SB 390 in 99. And the other is talking about voluntary programs. When I'm not up here or in the Central Coast or one of the other regional boards, I'm on a daily basis dealing with the legislature. And almost on a daily basis, I'm correcting the misinformation that these conditional waiver programs, whether it be this or irrigated ag, are voluntary programs. There is a voluntary mechanism to choose different regulatory tools such as the conditional waiver or those kinds of things. So I wanted to point that out. It's a silly thing really, but those misinterpretations in the Capitol keep me employed. So maybe it's a good thing. I would like to compliment staff, compliment you for the collaborative and cooperative efforts to work with agricultural stakeholders. To have a truly successful program to improve water quality, it takes that cooperation, that collaboration, particularly in the non-point source world, I believe. I've worked closely with your staff in the past, with Paul and with Jovita, with EPA and others, both in my current position and in some previous positions. I have a little bit of a sordid past that staff can explain to you about at some point. But at any rate, I just wanted you to know that California Farm Bureau stands ready to be actively engaged in this and to assist you as well as to assist our members, our dairy members and others in crafting something that helps you live up to your responsibilities protecting water quality and helps our members remain viable. So thank you.
Thanks. We appreciate your offer and welcome your input. Mr. Ciancio. Fresh ideas?
Chuck's, huh?
Fresh ideas.
Yeah, a lot of them. I'm sitting here listening to this, and it's like a trip down an old road. We've already been down here, done this. I made kind of a note of some things, and as you may know, I wrote this thing. Some of you don't like it, but whatever. I wrote it. It's what I see is happening to the open space, private open space in California, and we kind of threw this around yesterday. So I'm just going to throw some ideas out here. I'm not a dairyman. Been through the timber wars. The county's over there wrestling with the general plan right now. And one of their goals is not full and proper use of resources. It's preserve and protect. And one of the things they're doing over there is because of the declining use of resources, you hear it with the timber, the dairy, the cattlemen, or all of them, this is not to be a county goal. Now, I find that real hard because this county lives on resource use. You got high tech, you got renewable resources, you got colleges, you got all kinds of stuff here that's pro resource use, and yet the county is not looking to push it further. So I guess all I can really throw out to you guys is what I kind of think I've seen over the years. You got to do more than ideological or whatever about water quality. Now, and I think there's a lot that you folks and your staff need to learn about what's happening in the real world. And you're missing something here. You're putting restrictions on these guys. You're increasing their costs, and this is what I wrote about. And we're pushing our income, our resources from out of the state, number one, timber. 80% of the wood used in California comes from out of the state now. The people in the state are non-competitive. I mean, you're just forcing these folks to move somewhere else. And if you want open space and government ownership or conservation easements, the low producing or whatever, you're headed in the right direction. But something's got to be done to give these guys some incentives instead of just keep piling it on. So I guess that's all I can say. I just sit here. I've been harping on this with the supervisors and the planning commission and what have you. I don't know what else to say. You got to do more than just regulate. You got to think about what you're doing and where it's going. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Staff or board members?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Mr. Norton?
Can I ask a question to staff, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. You may.
Morning. My name is Denver Nelson. I live in Cutton. So obviously you don't want me to speak. What's going on?
Super fast diaphone.
I could just yell. Hello?
Your granddad.
I did that on purpose. I live in Cutton. I consider myself a gentleman dairyman. I'm actually a retired neurosurgeon. My daughter, who is a veterinarian, and my son-in-law, who's a real dairyman, run our dairy. I have a financial investment. It's the best way to have a dairy because they do all the work and I have the fun. If you've been to Ferndale, there's a large lady milking a calf or feeding a calf. That's our dairy. And in fact, the lady is Jim Renner's wife and Dennis Leonardi's sister. She's the model for that. And if you look off into the distance, there's this 700,000-gallon manure tank with a flag on it. You can't miss it. That's part of the EQIP program. We bought that dairy about 7 years ago. And my daughter and son-in-law came back here from Tillamook. I've been afraid to actually take anybody out there because it's really a state-of-the-art manure management system. And I'm not sure that that should be the prototype for everybody around here. And I'll tell you why. When we got here, I started on an EQIP program, which is funded by NRCS. That whole system was supposed to cost $500,000. And John's been out there. You're all welcome to come out. I have lots of stories to tell about the difficulties with regulators and what's gone on with it, but it was a 75% reimbursement from NRCS, so it was supposed to cost me 75% of $500,000. It cost a lot more than that. It's lucky I'm a retired neurosurgeon because I could afford to do that, but most dairymen I don't think could in this current condition. And I think we're the only ones that have a real nutrient management plan that's in effect. NRCS, the EQIP program paid, we didn't pay anything for it, but the consultants charged $20,000 for it. and it is absolutely worthless. It's just totally bogus. It's a word processing document that came from the Central Valley. I think we went through three different consultants to get it done. Since we were the sort of the prototype for the whole EQIP program for nutrient management, people, you know, government officials would come out by the truckload and walk around and kick the dirt and look at everything. And everyone who came out there, I said, this is a ripoff, even though it didn't cost us anything at all. I said, this is worthless. It's not used. It's not usable. And I think the first point I make is that the nutrient management plan has to be something that's useful. I grew up in Iowa. I still own a farm back there. We had a feedlot. And one of the things my father taught me was that manure is the best fertilizer of all. And it still is. And the idea that you're going to get rid of manure by putting it in the creek or putting it in the groundwater is ridiculous. You're wasting money, especially if it's an organic dairy, because you can't use fertilizer except manure. So to us, manure is a very valuable resource. And if you come out and visit, I'll show you how much increased productivity we've gotten as a result of doing this whole project. So the nutrient management plan, there has to be something done differently about it, because if you just have a word processing document, nobody's going to use it. It just becomes sort of a checklist, and if it costs $7,000, it's I'll show you our nutrient management plan and how useless it really is. The next point, I noticed there are all these tests. If you come out, we really have a neat dairy, very proud of it. It's all computerized, and you can measure every cow's output for every time they get milked, and you can measure lots of things. And one of the things that came with the system was a way to measure conductivity. And I thought that would be really neat, because that's supposed to be related to somatic cell count, and so you can divert, you know, increase your profits by taking out the high conductivity milk. And the people that sold it to us said, you can have this for free because it isn't going to work. And it doesn't work. So I can show you the conductivity for the last 4 or 5 years from every cow, from every milking. It's no good at all. It doesn't correlate with anything. But I noticed that the other thing is, I noticed that in the requirements here for annual monitoring, every time it rains an inch, you have to measure these various parameters in the water. Do you know the last time it rained an inch on our dairy? I don't. You know, who's supposed to figure that out? And I noticed one of the things you're measuring is conductivity of the water. Now, this is sort of my hobby, so I do a lot of these things. And I got the EPA came to town to measure groundwater as part of a big project in California. And I'd say that we got probably a free $20,000 analysis of our groundwater. And the point here is that these tests are very expensive. And I'm not sure if the conductivity of our well water was up, what are you going to do about it? Or if the pH of the water, any of these tests, it doesn't make much sense to me. This is like I'm on the Humboldt County Planning Commission, and we were just evaluating a management plan for manure for a stable. And I noticed they have these same tests. Of course, they don't do any of them, because it's impossible to catch groundwater when it rains an inch at this stable. And so they came back for a new permit, and I said, have you done any of these? And they said, no, we of course haven't done any. So this is not really a practical way to implement this program. And I think the bottom line is this, is that nobody here wants to put manure into the creeks or kill fish or kill the groundwater. Most of the people drink the groundwater themselves and have their children drink it. And to me, the real bottom line is that manure is a vital resource to us here. And it isn't something like in the Central Valley where they have 10,000 cows on 100 acres. You know, we have 100 cows on 100 acres. And so in Southern California, it's even worse. You know, and they really are polluting the groundwater because manure is something they're trying to get rid of. Here, we'd actually, on our dairy, would like to get more manure because it makes the grass grow. And you put it on at the right time of year, and it really makes the grass grow. And we don't have enough, even with the storage that we have now. So I think there's a lot of room for not using a word processor document from the Central Valley because it rains here, you know, and it doesn't rain there. So, you know, it is not transferable back and forth. And I'd welcome you all to come out and look at our dairy because we're very proud of it. But anyway, John's been there. He can speak to it. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any concluding staff comments or board member questions? Oh, sorry.
My name's Jonathan Schultz. I'm a local soil conservationist for the Natural Resources Conservation Service. I just wanted to speak on kind of a technical behalf of where our dairy program is at in Humboldt County and the status of comprehensive nutrient management plans that our agency provides to local dairy producers. And in response to some of Denver's comments, he's absolutely right. The nutrient management plans that we currently do have in place in the county are basically inadequate for the dairy producers' needs. They were taken from a Central Valley template and tried to have been applied here in Humboldt County, and taking a confined animal feeding operation model and applying it to animal feeding operation that's pasture-based is not compatible. So currently, since I have come on board with the agency, I'll be 2 years in August, we're implementing kind of a revamped dairy program in Humboldt County. We're trying to come up with some new tools and working with our state office in Davis and other specialists across the state and in the state of Oregon. We are trying to come up with protocols that are more in line with the situation in Humboldt County with pasture-based dairies. So while we still are in the infancy of that program, there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered. Unfortunately, the local dairy advisor for UC Cooperative Extension, that position is no longer filled, and that is using the local cooperative extension is something that NRCS relies heavily upon when developing protocols for nutrient management plans. Things like recommended application rates, pasture productivity models, those things aren't generated by our agency, they're generated by the university. So there is a shortfall there. So there are several areas that we are still trying to improve upon in order to get a correct model for our area, but we're just basically not there yet. So that's just kind of a status of where we're at with Natural Resource Conservation Service help here in the county.
So. Jonathan, can I ask you, though, how long would it... It sounds like there's an inadequacy of the nutrient management plans that have been prepared to date. Is that correct?
I would say the basic framework is there. The plans that currently are enacted in Humboldt County, and I can't speak for other counties of your region, but for Humboldt County dairies, it would be very easy to take those and to revamp them in some sort of way. Now, all of those nutrient management plans, comprehensive nutrient management plans that have been written for Humboldt County dairies were written by private consultants that they are based out of the Central Valley. So we haven't had our hands on them. It's just by providing technical assistance, NRCS can create a nutrient management plan or comprehensive nutrient management plan for a dairy. That basically doesn't cost them a cent, but I am the only staff person for NRCS in Humboldt County, and that's working in the dairy arena with comprehensive nutrient management plans. So my time is very limited, and with the other programs that we do have, it's hard for me to think that in the next year to 2 years, I'll be able to get out and write a very demanding technical document for the dairies. So we will rely heavily on private consulting firms, but that's also a relationship that we have yet to begin because basically we have nothing to give them as far as what we would like to see their final document to look like in Humboldt County. So.
Okay, but the thing is that the ones that are out there, I mean, it's a failure to me that Denver Nelson has a $20,000 plan that, in his words, is completely useless.
Correct.
That does nobody any good.
Nope.
So to turn that around, I hear from you, and I don't mean to single you out, but I mean that you're the sole guy, it sounds like, at NRCS that could be a part of the development of a nutrient management plan that is specific to pasture-based dairies in Humboldt County here. Is that correct?
I am the only person in the local field office that would be on the ground working directly with these dairies. We have significant staff support at the area office level, which is Northern California, and at the state office level, which is based out of Davis.
Okay, because I know just, and my interest is, of course, the lowest cost effective plan is what it you know, even a $20,000 plan to me is, if it's worthless, then it's worthless. That's a failure. I'm interested in how we get to, either through NRCS or private consultants or maybe even Western United Dairymen or EPA, how do we get there? And I'm not posing that question to you, but I'm just posing it out loud. Because to me, the nutrient management plan, part of this process, is part of the management tool that then allows a producer to effectively do what they do. And I think that, in general, the plan is in my experience in doing this type of work, is that a lot of it's prescriptive to the site in that it is site-specific information. Some of it, though, is boiler in that, you know, your BMP-based type system. Nonetheless, the plan has to be effective at, to me, again, the lowest cost. I'm interested in how we do that. And that's a general question, and I'm not asking it just specifically of you, because I do think it is a very important part of this process. I think it's part of the process that, in effect, allows producers to do what they do, to self-manage themselves, which they are doing now. You know, Paul Martin said they have the nutrient management plan in their head. I believe that's probably true. At the same time, I had the pleasure of sitting on a workshop that we did probably about 2 years ago where some of the UC professors came, and they did some specific work in Humboldt Plain, Ferndale area, about the amount of nutrient, and Thomas Harder was one of them. There was another gentleman, and I don't recall his name, that came, and then presented about their findings on nutrient cycling and nutrient use. And I believe that, I believe, again, Denver Nelson's right from what I recall of that study and their findings is that the nutrient requirements to grow grass basically here in the given geologic and climatic conditions that are here is nutrient poor and that they could take more nutrients with essentially good management and applied in a manner of consistent management can be done really well. And absolutely right that I think, you know, again, it's been said here that manures as a resource, as a process is a, it is something that is there from the process of cows, but it is also an asset in that, you know, it replenishes that nutrient cycle. To me, looking at it from my point of view, the nutrient management plan doesn't have to be necessarily, you know, so darn complicated that it should cost $20,000. I'm interested, and I'll ask this as staff too, is that, you know, we have a, within this enrollment and in the waiver, there's 6 months to do a nutrient management plan design and then implement it within 15 months thereafter. From what I hear, you don't have the capacity to do it and you're the point of the spear. So I would think that given the perhaps, how do we do that, I guess, is how I look at it from here. How do we get there? 6 months ain't going to work is what I hear from you. And I hear it from this community as well. Duly noted. At the same time, thinking out loud again, can we put something in place as part of maybe working with, again, some of these groups that are here, producers, industry groups, EPA, us, your organization as well, and some of the others, to put something in place as an interim document until which time a site-specific nutrient management plan could be brought to bear. That may be something interim that we might think about. And again, just thinking out loud here, I'm not about spending $20,000 and getting nothing for it. That doesn't work at all for a producer, and I think that is an absolute failure. There's not the room to do that here. And I think that we have to go to the success of getting what is really needed, which is a site-specific plan which works at the lowest darn cost you can get it. So I'll leave it at that. I really appreciate your point of view and your candor in coming up here. And I'm glad you came in under the tag here and you came in late, but I'm really glad you did because I think that that adds to the discussion and thought process here. So thank you.
Great. Jeff. Thank you, Mr. Norn.
Yep.
Hi, John.
Hi, Heidi.
I noticed there was a flyer for a technical service provider to do the nutrient management plans. Has that been filled yet?
We've had significant interest in the local community with several consulting firms that have approached us. Now, I mean, that's just the beginning of the process.
Right.
They have to become certified technical service providers for our agency, as well as go through the trainings to complete a new comprehensive nutrient management plan. So, yeah, there is significant interest out there. So I feel that with given a certain time frame, we'll be able to be at capacity in order to meet the demand that's out there for nutrient management plans in Humboldt County.
So it's my experience, but I just want to make sure that I'm not assuming something. When a landowner comes to you and begins conservation planning, part of what the agency looks for is a nutrient management plan and then helps provide the technical advice to formulate the infrastructure in order to get that manure out on the field, to get those gutters on the barns and so forth. And I'd like to mention that just as every other agency is experiencing cutbacks, as is the NRCS and the funding resources for that. So that may become a challenge in the future as well, from utilizing the NRCS or the RCD to get the landowners there. So thank you for that. But in addition to that comment, yesterday we spent a lot of time with the timber folks, and they mentioned water, soil, sun. That's what they survive on, water, soil, sun. That's what they have to have in order to create timber on the ground. I've spent a lot of time with the cattlemen, and they also mention water, soil, sun because they convert that into beef, and that's what they market and sell. And today we hear the dairymen, and they're speaking of the need for water, soil, sun in order for them to convert that energy into milk because that's what they sell. So my question is, when you have people whose very lifestyle depends on water, soil, and sun, I would think that of those three components, they have the greatest ability to probably manipulate the soil. We're a little dependent on Mother Nature to get the water that's available, and we are completely dependent on Mother Nature for the sun. So knowing that, the need to be able to manage your soil in order to produce the amount of grasses that you need to get the milk that you need to sell it, you need that soil to be at its greatest. And in order to protect our water so that we continue to have the opportunity to use it and pass that clean water down to your neighbor, we have to take care of that. I have written grazing management plans that are a joke, because they are filled in boxes from a template that you get from Montana. And the ranchers in Humboldt County go, what is this? And one of the things that I have noticed, and in regards to the commentary that the nutrient management plan is in your head, I agree with you 100%. There is no way to know when the rain's going to fall more or less. Cattle have to be moved along with that. Nutrients have to be added when the sun's going to come out, when the rain's going to stop, all the different variations. And you can fill in templates, and you can get the computer to spit out a plan, but 9 times out of 10, it's just not going to work. You know, you have to be on the ground. My education and working with landowners has taught me the greatest fertilizer for your fields is your footsteps. And I know that there's probably not a dairyman, a cattleman, or a timber guy out there who doesn't spend a tremendous amount of time on their land watching things grow and trying to figure out how to make them grow better. So to me, one of the best ways to go about finding out how and what is the best nutrient management plan is ask the landowners. They're the ones that are 100% dependent on whether or not these things work. We have to fulfill our requirements and make sure that state law is met. So we have to sit in a unique position. How do we make those laws be met and make the water clean, but still allow the producers to be able to produce? And so my advice to the dairymen is create a management plan that you can use, and that we have to be able to put it in some kind of a box. I know it's hard to put Mother Nature in a box because she doesn't like it in there. But we have to have something written down. You folks have to have something written down. Our staff has to be able to look at something and say they clearly know what they're doing, or maybe we could advise them in this way, or maybe we could kind of send them to United Dairymen for a little bit of advice here, or maybe to the NRCS, or maybe they do need to take a water quality class of some kind because they're not getting it. But there's all this brain power out there from generations of people who have lived and died by the ability to make this grass grow and to make these animals be able to produce milk. It's something so inside of them that it's hard to make them write it down, because it's like being able to say, how does your heart beat? You write it down and tell me how that works. They can't write it down. It's what they do every day. It's what they've done every day. And so I know it's going to be hard, but let's work together and figure out a way to write down nutrient management plans that help us meet the regulations of the state, but that allow the dairyman to be able to say, I have to use this much manure on this kind of a weather strain in order for my grass to grow. And the guy down the road, completely different section of soil. He has runoff from this hill that I don't. He has this influence that I don't. I went on a frost death of corn with Mr. Leonardi one day, and it was insane. A frost belt came through and burnt up just this perfect section of corn and didn't even bother the neighbor at all. And we stood there and looked at the two different things and thought, wow, I wonder how that happened. The river influenced it, or maybe the way the wind blew that day influenced it. So we have this massive dynamics out there. And I think that each landowner can give way to what they know works on their property and what doesn't. So let's draft that information from them. And it's going to be hard to write it down, but we got to write it down because we have to fulfill our requirements. So my encouragement is, during this time when this thing is still moving around, have input to the best of your ability. Our board has said we're anxious to hear from you, and anyone who has commentary about it, make sure you say that, because by the time it gets to that point in August, we're bound. You know, we have things, we have deadlines that we have to meet, but between now and then, I'm sure the ladies would be more than happy to get their feet nice and poopy. And by the way, when I was a little kid, the dairy air, that's what we call it. When I was a little kid, I would tell my Uncle Tony Leonardo, who had a dairy, it stinks in Ferndale. And he would say, no, it doesn't. It smells like money. So, but anyway, I just encourage you guys to figure out a way to make it work, because we need milk and the dairy folks out there. And we need to fulfill our requirements. So thanks.
Thanks, Heidi. Mr. Corbett.
Well, actually, it's more a general comment if we're done with public comment. I'm sorry.
You can go.
Thanks.
I didn't want to grill you.
Got one more.
But we're not done with public comment.
My name is Donna Chambers. I'm the Executive Director of the Humboldt Resource Conservation District, and the NRCS is our federal partner. We've had a dairy program in Humboldt County for over 20 years, working with the producers to improve their management practices and their facilities. We just finished up a Headwaters Fund economic development grant in Humboldt County that helped us develop a new protocol or improve a protocol for nutrient management plans. We've spent the last 2 years, we also have another grant through the State Water Board actually helping with nutrient management planning. And we've spent the last couple of years, 3 years actually, working with NRCS, with local producers, doing a lot of data gathering and trying to come up with something that is workable. We want to develop nutrient management plans that people can use, that make sense, and that's where we've really been putting our time and effort. One of the key things that we've discovered is you can't just write a nutrient management plan for somebody. You need to work with the producers and develop it together. And then everybody needs to remember that this plan is a living document, mm-hmm. because every time you change a crop, every time you make a change on your facility, it's going to change your nutrient management plan. And the other piece of that is that the RCD and NRCS wants to be available for ongoing technical assistance, because we want to be able to provide that assistance that people need. We're not from the Central Valley where, you know, the consultant comes up, writes the plan goes on the shelf, and they go back to the Central Valley. We're here for the long term, and so if somebody needs some help with calibrating equipment or doing some soil or veg or water quality sampling, that's what we want to help do. So I just wanted to add our 2 cents that we are doing a lot in Humboldt County to look at nutrient management and make it more effective and more useful.
Great. Thanks, Don. We've got August is approaching really fast. So are we talking to each other? Are we?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. The other thing, just to because I know that Sherry, you were really optimistic about funding through NRCS for nutrient management plans. And just a reminder that someone has to have an EQIP contract first, and that's a competitive process. So it's not that you just go to NRCS and turn in your application and they give you money and you go get a nutrient management plan. It's a process. We have some funding available to write nutrient management plans through our grants, and so we're providing those free of charge. In exchange, we're using those producers as our guinea pigs. So, and we're hoping to write 4 plans. It's a very long process. I think we just spent a year finishing one. So,
Donna, can I ask you? Okay, so you finished one. You got one there. How much of that plan is not site specific? Is general? Is stuff that is applicable everywhere, basically? Is there such a thing?
I'm looking at my dairy program coordinator.
Hi, my name is Frances, and I work with Donna at RCD.
Yeah.
I've actually been working on completing a draft nutrient management plan, and I would say a very minimal amount of that plan would be applicable to a general area. They are very site-specific.
So, okay. That's my question. Okay.
Yes.
Frances, could you state your name for the record?
My name is Frances Charnstrom. I will do it. I'll put in a speaker card because you wouldn't be able to spell it.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any other speaker cards floating out there? Mr. Corbett.
Just at the very generic level, I think the biggest regulatory decision, and I think it's the right one, is we're respecting the state board and setting up different regions in the state. And I think when it first came out of the gate, because of how much production comes out of the Central Valley, that a lot of those concepts and ideas were being transferred up here, and I don't think they transfer very well. The second major thing I think that's happening is a pretty positive local response of trying to help us craft regulations that meet our needs and your needs as well, and I want to have you keep encouraging you on that. It gets very complex now whether board members can go out and visit Denver Nelson because we are in a regulatory situation, although it's probably legislative, which is a little looser. But if that can be arranged legally, I think one of the things that Denver Nelson can show is a tremendous, he had a lot of drive, he has a lot of brains, and he had got both government capital and his own, and he was able to overcome a lot of misstarts or bad information, and I think he's a wealth of information of what doesn't work, and that's exceedingly valuable as well as what does. I do share a little bit the concern that I do not think the average dairy owner will be able to have that level and size of capital investment. So I think if it's viewed as a learning experience, if it's viewed on how to avoid what doesn't work, it's a great thing. I don't want it to be the standard because I think that would be a crushing economic burden. And I want to compliment Denver Nelson for doing a hell of a job out there. And one thing I can tell you is ex-brain surgeons, they have statistics, the computer programs, they can critique the software. So it's very, very educational what's going on the ground there. And lastly, I do want to say, though, because I live in Humboldt County, I've visited probably 5 dairies in the last 10 years or something, and I've never had a dairyman who didn't immediately call me out to the shed. A lot of times I got muddy shoes and stuff to show me their waste management. So some aren't doing maybe what they could, but I can tell you it's on their mind and they're doing it and they're really proud of it. I mean, you better wear boots if you go visit because they'll slosh you right through to what they're doing, how they're doing it, and take considerable pride.
Thanks, John. Sherry, Lisa, you've been taking copious notes. Anything that you want to wrap up with, or?
We enjoy working with all of these people that have come up to the podium, and we're going to continue to talk to them every day, every opportunity that we can. We email back and forth constantly. We try to learn as much as we can. There's never enough time to finish what we really want to do, but we're going to do the best job that we can. That's all I wanted to say.
I guess I want to just reiterate that we do have our public process coming up, and you know, after this coordination, as much as we can get on the ground, that we do still have a 45-day comment period for folks, and we've intentionally opened that comment period up for an additional 15 days beyond the 30-day requirement with the intention of being able to receive more comments from the public and from any stakeholders that are interested in this process, because we really want to be responsive to folks. And I know it's really difficult sometimes for people to give us concrete ideas without seeing something in writing, and so we're really hoping that we get a lot of feedback during the public comment process so that we can adapt what we have drafted to something that's viable and implementable when we have something adopted in August or whenever we get to the adoption.
It seems like you've received probably a good dose of comments today that you can integrate and get those out into the document before the official public comment period, so it probably will help streamline things.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Good work, Wayne.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. The board is nearing its lunch recess, but we have one extremely important item of business that our dear